This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. Tonight, we celebrate the life of one of the greatest baseball players and humanitarians, the late, great Roberto Clemente of the Pittsburgh Pirates. And this evening, I'm joined by two gentlemen who have strong connections to Roberto, his family, and his legacy. Danny Torres is a native of the Bronx, an educator and freelance sports writer who has written for many outlets, including MLB.com, the National Baseball Hall of Fame, the Mets, the Puerto Rican Daily Sun, and Latinosports.com. Last year, Danny became one of the founding members of the Society of Clemente Enthusiasts, a dedicated group who will follow number 21's extraordinary career on and off the field. The group replicates Clemente's mantra of giving back to charitable causes. Danny, thanks for being here on Sports Jam.
Doug, thank you so very much. It's an absolute pleasure.
And tonight we're also joined by one of Roberto Clemente's very close friends, a one-time front office executive with the Texas Rangers and Detroit Tigers, the first MLB executive born in Puerto Rico, and the author of five baseball books, Luis Rodriguez Mayoral. Great to have you on Sports Jam, Luis.
The honor is mine, Doug, being with you and with Danny, who to me is a number one Clementista, a follower of the legacy of Roberto.
Wonderful. And you're joining us from your home in Arlington, Texas. Great to have you on the show.
Here is Roberto Clemente against Cuellar in the first inning. He grounded to short.
The year was 1971 when Roberto Clemente would give the Pittsburgh Pirates an amazing performance in the World Series and come through in the all-important Game 7.
That is hit well. A Clemente home run, and the Pirates lead 1-0.
Luis, for some of our younger listeners and those who don't know about Roberto Clemente's playing career, he played 18 seasons for the Pirates. He was National League Most Valuable Player once, All-Star 12 times, four times batting champion, and a Gold Glove winner 12 times in right field. In 1972, Roberto Clemente got his 3,000th Major League hit in his very last plate appearance of his career against the Mets' John Matlack.
Matlack on the 0-1. Bobby hits a dive into the gap in left center field. There she is.
Roberto died later that year in a plane crash on December 31st of 1972 while en route to deliver aid to earthquake victims in Nicaragua. Clemente was inducted posthumously into the National Baseball Hall of Fame in 1973, becoming the first Latin American to be enshrined. So that's what most of us know about Roberto, Luis. Can you start us off tonight on Sports Jam by telling us something about your late friend that the world doesn't know about him?
Well, in essence, prior to becoming a professional with the Brooklyn Dodgers, he had played pro ball in Puerto Rico with the Santurce Club, making his Puerto Rican baseball debut October 22, 1952. And it's interesting. There was a U.S. Marine fighter pilot on leave from training, the small town of Vieques, who threw out the first ball in Roberto's first professional game in Puerto Rico. He's a legendary Boston Red Sox, Ted Williams. Roberto never forgot that.
Now, I understand that when it came to Roberto, Monty Irvin was his idol. Is that true?
That is correct. And Danny and I have been with Monty the past few years. Monty never forgets that. What Roberto did, coming from a poor family, but not poor like third world, Roberto would go to the stadium in San Juan, Sixto Escobar Stadium, wait for Monty, take Monty's duffel bag in his hand, and he was right there and then unofficially Monty's protector on the island. So he got in free to the games. He shared moments with Monty, and destiny had it that on August 6, 1973, Monty and Roberto, by a divine situation, were both enshrined in Cooperstown on the same day.
Danny, you and I had a chance to meet at the New York screening of No No, the documentary, the film about the late Pirates and Yankees pitcher Doc Ellis. And then after that show, you told me about the Roberto Clemente musical that was playing in Pittsburgh in September. We had a chance to meet up there and see that amazing show. Tell us more about the Society of Clemente Enthusiasts.
Well, once again, Doug, thank you so very much for having me on your program. And obviously, without a doubt, my relationship with Luis Mayoral, that's my big brother. And I'm very happy to have that relationship with him as well as the Clemente family. It must have been around, well, actually, if I had to say, going back to give a little brief history, it was around sometime around 1999 that I had walked into a store in the Bronx, and a gentleman had a display of Clemente memorabilia. And in seeing the store and exactly what he was doing there in the South Bronx that I give him a lot of credit for, there was this little display case, and it was a rookie card. There were some other items that were obviously created in honor of the great one. And it was at that moment that I said to myself, you know, I always like to collect things. And we all know that we all have our, you know, whatever it may be from the standpoint of collecting or things that mean a lot to us. And before you know it, within the 5 to 7 years, a collection evolved and grew. And I've met so many people from the standpoint of those that collect Clemente memorabilia. One gentleman in particular, Paul Kutch in Newark, Delaware, who's a dear friend of mine of over 15 years, who quite, not even possibly, definitely has the largest Clemente, room, memorabilia space in his place, dedicated to the great one. Game used bad, things of that nature, and just so many things that he has. And he kind of really was one of those that really started me when I visited his place in Delaware. And lo and behold, I don't collect necessarily now more because, let's be honest, it takes space. It takes a huge amount of time. But I do appreciate the items that I do have. But that in itself grew into this, as we call, and we just actually recently dubbed this as the Society of Clemente Enthusiasts. Another one of the members, Nate Berger from Maine, who kind of inscribed and sent me something in the mail. And he had this at the top when I received it in the mail. And I said, you know, that's pretty cool. And lo and behold, we kind of have dubbed ourselves that. But we're talking right now at least a group of about 12 men who we first got together as a group at Paul's house. And Luis Mayoral was our first speaker. And Luis traveled with his beautiful wife, Gina, from Arlington all the way to Newark, Delaware. And at that time also, Doug, it was perfect time. It was called DC7, the Roberto Clemente story. So it did kick off in New York City in 2011, but eventually it made it to Washington, D.C. So when we met that weekend, we all traveled from Delaware to Washington, D.C. with the group. We have someone from Carlisle, Pennsylvania, my dear friend, Dr. Eliseo Rosario, another dear friend as well, Vic Popa from Indiana, Peter Spink, South Carolina, and Nate Fletcher from Maryland. So, I mean, George Shamoon from Florida, Adrian Ramirez from Yonkers, New York, my other dear friend, George Alverio from Maryland. So, you know, I'm going on and giving a particular shout out to my dear friends because, you know, it's a very, very, very special group of men who are very passionate about Clemente, about everything that, not necessarily what he did on the field, but we've heard this before, everything that he did off the field.
Danny Torres is joining us along with, from his home in Arlington, Texas, Luis Mayoral. Now, Luis, you were born in Puerto Rico. I don't think any of us really have an idea. You know, there are a lot of schools and there are a lot of ball fields that are named after Roberto here in the U.S., but I don't think anybody who hasn't traveled to Puerto Rico really understands what this man means to your native country. Can you explain that to us?
Yes, basically, Doug, to Puerto Ricans, our flag and Roberto Clemente walk hand in hand. He has perhaps been the Puerto Rican most revered on the island, off the island, as he is the only major league ball player to experiment the supreme sacrifice in search for the betterment of others, the victims in Nicaragua. So Right now, Roberto Clemente is seen not as a Hall of Fame ball player only, but as a champion in human relations. I mean, he transcends Pittsburgh. He transcends MLB. And he truly is a man for history. And in Puerto Rico, there's a lot of going-ons, differences in politics, religions, and so forth. But when they say Roberto Clemente, almost 4 million residents of the island are truly behind the legacy of our dear late friend.
I was able to see Roberto play as a youngster growing up in Pittsburgh. And, you know, when you're a youngster, you don't know about necessarily all the things that ball players have to go through. Today's world, you do, through all the social media. But at that time, as a youngster myself, I wasn't really aware of some of the struggles that Roberto was going through as far as the language barrier and as far as racism. You were there at the time when Roberto was playing for the Pirates. How difficult was it for him to be frustrated with the fact that he was so misunderstood, but so loved at the same time?
Well, that's a very interesting question, Doug. I would say that until Roberto won his first batting championship in 1961, Roberto really had no emotional platform whatsoever to project his need to be understood. Once he won that batting championship, Roberto became more outspoken year by year, to the extent that due to the sufferings and Roberto being Latino's first Jackie, the equal of Jackie Robinson, then Roberto really let the world know the message as to the fact that regardless if you're a major league ball player in the U.S. of A., there are people who don't understand you, and because you don't speak the English well, because you react to certain cultural circumstances differently, that you're arrogant or that you are stupid. Roberto was a very, very bright man who many do not know. Instead of playing Major League Baseball, he already had a spot for him at the College of Engineering, University of Puerto Rico in the Mayagüez campus. So he was a great ball player, but he was also a silent intellectual who always fought for righteousness, for justice. And the people he admired most in his life were John F. Kennedy, because of the Peace Corps movement, Martin Luther King, who he met, and he said that was one of the highest, the most important moments in his life, having met Martin Luther King. So Roberto walked hand in hand with the progress for Latinos, African Americans, and other minorities in the U.S. of A. during the 60s. He was truly touched by God, Doug.
And Danny, I guess it says a lot for you being a Mets fan, but still being one of the founding members of a man who played for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Well, I will tell you, I will share this story with you, which I think it's rather interesting. Think for a moment, Doug, and I'm sure Luis would agree with me when I say this, where you have a visiting player honored in their stadium, in their respective stadium. And here in 1971, September of 71, Roberto Clemente was honored at Shea Stadium. I did a story for the Mets in 2007, and I just thought it was interesting when I found out that Omar Minaya, who was the general manager, former general manager of the New York Mets, Omar Minaya was 10 years old. He actually was in the upper deck for Roberto Clemente Day at Shea Stadium. There was a contingent of politicians, Latin politicians. I believe there was even a banquet that particular day because I've seen photographs. But I find it interesting that here it is, Roberto, along with his beautiful wife, Vera Clemente, his children, Roberto Jr., Luis Roberto, and Roberto Enrique. They were there to see their father honored, not at Three Rivers, but honored at Shea Stadium. So I find it interesting that, you know, how things work, that here it is, the first general manager, first Latin general manager in Major League Baseball, And lo and behold, he was 10 years old, and he grew up in Queens, Omar Minaya. Here he is at Roberto Clemente night. So, yes, I am a Met fan, but I'll be very honest with you, and you know that I came in with a Pirate vest, courtesy of two dear friends, Victor and Peter. And if I may also add this other name, because when he does hear the show, he's going to say, Danny, you forgot to mention Mitch Loran in San Jose. So, Mitch, you know I love you. But try to remember everybody's name. But again, Doug, you know, Roberto was quite special. We all know that. We all know the story. But it's just those little stories that I like to find and discover. And someone like Luis Mayoral, my dear friend, he has so many. And I could listen to him as you're hearing a little bit of those little tidbits on The Great One.
You're listening to Sports Jam on WBGO, the Jazz Source. I'm Doug Doyle. My guests tonight are two men instrumental in keeping alive the memory of the late, great Roberto Clemente. We're approaching the 42nd anniversary of Roberto's death on December 31st. A close friend of Roberto's and a member of the Puerto Rican Sports Hall of Fame, Luis Mayoral, joining us from Arlington, Texas. And here in the studio, Danny Torres from the Bronx, educator, freelance writer, and one of the founding members of the Society of Clemente Enthusiasts. Luis, does a December go by, or maybe a day doesn't go by in general, that you don't think about the Great One?
I do. Here in my office, I have a picture presenting him a special award in Pittsburgh the day after the 3,000 hit. I have a picture with him and Mr. Bowie Kuhn, then commissioner. And, you know, Roberto lives in my memory forever. His life was short, Doug, only 38 years. 4 months and 13 days, but it's inevitable for me to think of Roberto. Besides the fact that so many people have known our friendship, everywhere I go, there's always a question, how was Roberto? Who was Roberto? So, you know, it lives with me. And at age 69 right now, I, today and forever, will be thankful to God for having allowed me to meet that man and to discover the greatness of him while at the same time being humble. And I always say, like I tell Danny, I am fortunate that God allowed me to befriend Roberto Clemente. Because of that, I met him when I was in my early 20s, officially, you know, as a man. And having met him definitely made me a better person.
Danny, I know you're working on a children's book entitled Collecting 21. Tell us more about that.
Well, I will tell you this, at least at this point, it is definitely a father and son. Without a doubt, the Great One will be in the book. And I'm just looking forward to seeing it come to fruition, as they say. But I definitely will ask you to have me back on the show when everything is official.
Recently, I went to one of the schools in Newark, and I brought up Roberto's name, and I said, how many people here in the audience know Roberto? Just about every kid raised their hand. That's powerful.
Powerful indeed. And, you know, my wife, Roxanne, and my beautiful children, Talia and Sierra, are here in studio, and I thank you for welcoming them as well. One of the things, Doug, that there doesn't, in that respect, at least I'm not going to say every day, as Luis mentioned with regards to thinking about Roberto, but it's amazing that throughout maybe the course of, let's just say, a month, where I'll see a 21 jersey. Again, when I'm in a car and happen to go by, there's a school in the South Bronx named after Roberto. Or let's be honest, even looking every day when I do walk over to my collection and I see something, I look at it very closely and say that, wow, this is something that I have. If I may share with you too, Doug, I mean, being able to say that you have some original one-of-a-kind items. And, you know, the one thing that, you know, I will say, you know, does mean a lot to me. And very few have actually this. And, you know, again, as a collector, yes, I am an educator, a teacher in the Bronx. But when you talk about a prized possession, I will say this one item that I do have, and it's amazing. That's another story in itself. But we all know when someone passes away in Major League Baseball, there's always a commemorative patch. We know that recently we lost a Pirate, Ralph Kiner. Ties so close to the New York Mets, but without a doubt did leave an extraordinary mark in Pittsburgh Pirate history. Well, there was a commemorative patch. Well, Doug, I happen to own that 21 patch that was on the sleeves of the Pittsburgh Pirates in 1973, the 1973 season. So, you know, I do see that often. And I'll tell you to remember that because that does have a little part in my book.
You are blessed, as you mentioned, joining us in the studio, your wife Roxanne, the beautiful Roxanne, by the way. And I know what your toughest job is going to be in life. Battling the guys who are going after Talia and Sierra, two beautiful daughters here. You got some work to do, sir.
I would agree with you on that. I would agree with you on that.
Absolutely. You know, Luis, you've been invited to the White House. What does it mean to be the first MLB executive to be born in Puerto Rico?
Well, it's a great honor. And I've been in the game in many capacities in Puerto Rico and the U.S. of A. since the late 60s. It's an honor because baseball is so international. Baseball and Coca-Cola, and I'm sorry to bring it up, the name Coca-Cola, are perhaps the two best ambassadors to a degree of goodwill that the U.S. has thrown out there to the world. But yes, it is a true honor. I loved the game since I was a child. And to me and to many Hispanics, the fact that I exist and that I was the first Puerto Rican baseball executive, but also the first Latino to try to bridge among cultures, to try to bridge among the players, the media, and the establishment in Major League Baseball, that's I silently carry that honor, but it's a God-given mission that I am on, utilizing baseball to unite the world in any way possible.
I'm staring at one of the pictures that you were referring to with the trophy in hand with Roberto. Vera's in the picture. In the background is the late Pirates announcer Bob Prince. And when you see these type of pictures, I can only imagine what memories stir inside you. You talked about it a little bit. Can you tell us a little bit about this picture? Because we're going to put it up on the website so people can see it and what it means to you.
Well, to me, it means a lot. That was the culmination of Roberto's career prior to being enshrined in the Hall of Fame, but it also brings a lot of laughs to me because at the moment I'm presenting that trophy to him that has a clod of earth from where he played baseball as a child in Barrio San Antonio in Carolina, Puerto Rico. You can see the grass there. Roberto received it. He was touched. But then the Roberto that not too many people know asked me a simple question. He says, "Do you know how many cows discharge here on this grass?" And I'm saying it nicely. I'm talking manure way, you know. But that was Roberto Clemente. He had a funny side to him that not many people knew. And when I see the picture, I know the, if we can say, the sanctity of it. But I can never forget what he asked. And Mrs. Clemente, I don't know if in that picture particularly she's cracking up, but she did crack up when she heard Roberto say that. But then at the same time, on a personal, selfish basis, he says that when Roberto kidded like he did in that instance with a person, it meant that he truly loved him. And coming those words from Mrs. Clemente, it's very touching, almost 42 years after his death.
And here with me right now, the greatest right fielder in the game of baseball, Roberto Clemente. Bobby, congratulations on a great World Series.
Thank you, Bob. And before I say anything in English, I would like to say something for my mother and father in Spanish. En el día más grande de mi vida, para los nenes, la bendición mía y que mis padres me echen mi bendición en Puerto Rico.
Mr. and Mrs. Clemente, we love them too.
Yeah. Now, Luis, I know you've been invited to do a live TV special on Clemente that will air December 31st. That show will be featuring Vera, Roberto's widow. And can you tell us a little bit more about that show? How can we see it?
Yes, sir. Let me tell you what's happening with the show. It'll be at 8 Eastern time. It'll be WIPR-TV. That's a Puerto Rican government station, the most powerful station on the island. And we recorded the show last week in San Juan, and Mrs. Clemente was there. Roberto Luis, her second son, was there. The wife of the Nicaraguan consul in Puerto Rico at the time of his death was there. She's into her 90s, but she brought so much information about what happened in Nicaragua, her relationship with Roberto and Vera. And I also had a ball player who played right field with his team in Pittsburgh in the year 2000. His name was Juan Gonzalez with the Detroit Tigers. And I brought him on the show simply for him to tell me how he felt going into old Three Rivers Stadium and playing right field where Roberto had played many years before. And his one-liner was, man, I was like in a labyrinth. I felt I was there with angels. That's what Juan Gonzalez says on that show. It should be very interesting. And I promise to send you a copy of that show, Doug.
We look forward to that. Danny Torres, you and I both watching the Clemente musical in Pittsburgh in September. They talk about how the ocean never gives back its treasures.
You know, it was a touching show. I met Modesto Lasseng, who is right now overseas working on a project that I'm really hoping that will eventually make its way back here to the States. But I met Modesto. He lives in New York City, the gentleman who played Roberto. I met him because Luis mentioned to Modesto, there's a gentleman in New York City that you need to get to know, become friends with, and have an opportunity to share his stories on Clemente, items that he might have that you might want to look at, some videos, things of that nature. And Modesto came to my home out in Queens, October of 2011. And if you just look at the years that have already passed, now that we're going into 2015, that friendship is pretty tight to the point where I look at Modesto also as a brother. And I have tried my best to promote the show when able. I think that also is really how we got together as a group that, you know, my friend Paul and I started to discuss ideas. And I'm just very, you know, how's the word? Because at times I even get emotional when I think about how that relationship has evolved. But it's with the utmost pride that I have in knowing Modesto and an opportunity of meeting so many of the cast, Lorraine Velez, who played Mrs. Clemente. But you have to admit, you know, it was meant for us to meet, Doug. And, you know, we all know we enjoyed the No No documentary. I had an opportunity to get to know Doc very well in a brief period. Met him at one of the charity functions. Met Doc, met Al, another friend who lives in Ohio. And, of course, Manny. You know, who doesn't love Manny? And I've interviewed most of those players. And it's just been a whirlwind tour, I'd almost have to say, of the experiences that I've had as a writer the last 12 years, as an educator. And, Doug, as you see, you know, the passion that I have in talking about Roberto and just having an opportunity even to know someone like Luis, have the relationship that I have with Mrs. Clemente, a second mother, with Luis Clemente, you know, it means a lot to me.
We're speaking with Danny Torres and Luis Mayoral here on Sports Jam tonight as we reflect on Roberto Clemente. As a youngster growing up in Pittsburgh, Luis, Danny already knows this, Manny Sanguin and Roberto Clemente were my favorite players. I used to collect all their pictures. One thing that struck me right away was when I saw a picture of Roberto Clemente, just how handsome he was. He played the game with such grace out there and so much pride. Did that come from his parents?
I would say yes. It all goes back to his upbringing, the fact that his family truly believed in God. And I've been around the game almost a half a century. I befriended the greatest names in the game going back to the 50s. And Roberto is perhaps the closest ball player I've met who is truly, or who was truly guided by God. He was not perfect. I never tried to anoint him. He was not perfect. But if there is a guy who was closest to God that I've met, I'd say it was Roberto Clemente. He had a funny side to him also. So, you know, he was the whole package, good-looking guy. And what really got me to know Roberto is the fact that he cared for the people who suffered. Like I've always said, the taxi driver, the factory worker, the people who pick up the garbage, because he used to say, those people are the ones who know the true essence of what it is to be alive. They can really value being alive, even though they have to work so hard to make a living.
I'm going to ask Luis the same question, but Danny, you first. You traveled to Puerto Rico to assist at the charity functions with the family, and you actually introduced me to two of Roberto's sons the night we saw the musical in Pittsburgh, and I've had a chance to meet Roberto Jr. earlier in New York. They were all very young when their father died. How difficult has it been for them?
I have to say, you know, and I talk often with Luis. Haven't seen Roberto in a number of years. I did have the opportunity, and I'm sure you also knew that, as they call him, Ricky, Roberto Enrique. Ricky was there also in Pittsburgh for the show. And we don't really talk about that. I really don't. You know, it's one of those things, Doug, that, yes, you know how difficult. I lost my father next year, will be 25 years. And after meeting even Mrs. Clemente for the very first time, and I thank Paul Kutch for making that happen in 2002, that I got a chance to visit the home. She cooked us dinner. I will never forget that. And that's another story in itself. But I don't like to bring that topic up, whether it's with Mrs. Clemente or Luis, because just imagine, Doug, and I don't have my father anymore, and no one brings up that topic. Imagine you're living now a life, you're the three children, or you're Mrs. Clemente. Every December, it's the same question. So I try to look at it more from a standpoint of those that knew Roberto, like Luis. Luis will tell you, they never spoke baseball. They always spoke about life. So on that topic, yes, I know some things that I rather keep to myself, but it's one of those type of things, Doug, that we want to talk about the person who's alive. And in my collection, you won't see anything that pertains to Roberto's passing. I do have the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette when he passed away, but it's in a closet. I don't display that. I don't believe that anything that relates to his death is something that I would like to walk into my space and see something that shows that someone tragically passed away.
It's emotional talking about this. Luis, some of the clips that are so vivid in my mind, Roberto coming off crossing home plate, being hugged by Manny Sanguin, he really was an icon to his teammates. Like you talk about Panama, Manny was from Panama, Rennie Stennett. We wouldn't have Manny and Rennie if it wasn't for Roberto, right?
That's true. I mean, Roberto opened up the doors by playing and by speaking his mind as to the difficulties of the Hispanic ball players. Roberto, again, a great ball player, a great human being. He truly cared about people. Like I said before, the people who suffer. And, you know, when you think of Roberto Clemente, many are inclined to think of him now, these days, 42 years after his death, as the man, not necessarily the ball player, but then, like, he guided Manny, Rennie Stennett, and so forth. Roberto also loved these guys, and besides, or even though there was an age difference, he used to be very playful with them. I remember that a few years before his death, Roberto and Vera went on a trip through South America, and they bought a little monkey. And when he showed me the monkey, he says, "This is my monkey." And his name is Manny Sanguin. So, you know, that's a person that a lot of people didn't know. Roberto was a jokester. He loved his teammates, and they loved him too. And the guy who really respected him, there's a book out now, maybe about a year, by Mr. Peterson from the Pittsburgh area on Willie Stargell. Willie truly adored Roberto Clemente. He was Roberto was a mentor to Willie Stargell. And another one, a very liberal mind, Doc Ellis, adored Roberto too, to the extent that while many ball players simply called him Roberto or Clemente, Doc Ellis would refer to him as Clementine. That's my buddy Clementine. So, you know, Roberto was a force to unite because the Anglo players on the teams loved him. Everyone loved Roberto Clemente. And the person who best described the legacy of Roberto, Commissioner Bowie Kuhn, at the time of his death, he said something like this: Roberto had with him a touch of royalty.
I know Vera told me he loved calypso music. Can you give us a story about, did you ever go out dancing with Roberto?
Not really dancing. You know, Roberto was more private than anything. But, yeah, he did like calypso music. He loved Puerto Rican and Chinese cuisine. He loved to play pool. He loved to make ceramic objects. And even though he never studied music, he could play the organ quite well. He loved spit shining his own shoes. He was always well-dressed. And we're talking about a gentleman who was very, very practical, down to earth. And that was the greatness of Roberto. He saw himself as a common person. He knew he was a good ball player, but in essence, he kept that to himself. He was proud of being Negro, being Puerto Rican. He reached the Mount Everest of baseball in his career, but at the same time, he was really a very, very practical, down-to-earth human being, Doug.
In the conversation that I had with Vera, she told me about how Roberto could not get out of bed many times and had such a bad back and dealt with all kinds of treatment ways. As you mentioned, he didn't let the public know about that. So if they saw him out there, they had no real idea what it took to get him into right field that day and then watch him perform like nothing had happened.
That's true. Let me tell you something very interesting about that. Roberto would tell me many times that at times he was hurting and he felt that if he went out there to play, he would not give the fan what they had paid for, the best of Roberto. And then having no defense because of the language barrier, it was easy to project him as arrogant, that he didn't care. But he always would tell me, they say I am a hypochondriac. But, you know, hypochondriacs don't win 4 batting titles. Hypochondriacs don't go to the All-Star games. Hypochondriacs are not MVP ball players in the World Series. So, you know, he was very conscious of how they tried to project him as to really being a malingerer. He was never a malingerer. And to this day, a lot of people say, who can be a malingerer being a Hall of Fame, getting 3,000 hits and so forth?
Luis, was there a moment when you knew this man was truly great?
Well, I truly knew he was great to me as a child living in Panama, because I grew up between Panama and Seattle, Washington. But it was when he, in fact, hit 300 for the first time in his career. If I'm not mistaken, it could have been 1956. I was a child who knew a lot about baseball. I was 11 years old, and that impacted me in a way that I will never forget. I knew then he would be a great ball player as a child. But then throughout the years, when I see what God gave Roberto to bring to the world, you know, little by little, I was able to mentally digest the greatness of this man. A lot of people always ask me, were his remains found? No, the remains were not found. And I clearly remember Friday, January 12, 1973, with Vera Clemente and Pittsburgh catcher Manny San Guillen and then shortstop Jackie Hernandez. We visited the U.S. Coast Guard base in Puerto Rico in Old San Juan, and the commander there told us that shifting of the improperly secured cargo on the plane could have crushed those on board at the moment of impact. human remains could have been washed out into the Atlantic Ocean, or the sharks may have eaten up the remains of Roberto and his companions on that flight. I always bring that up because a lot of people ask me anywhere I go, what happened to Roberto? Was he ever found? No, his remains were never found. But Roberto left the torch of goodwill that I've carried since his death, that friends and professionals like Danny, who I love like a son, are carrying right now into future generations. And it's a torch of goodwill that, by way of Roberto, God gave humanity. And the importance of the TV show that we did on the island, the special, is that 2015 will mark the 60th anniversary of Roberto's Major League Baseball debut with the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Danny, if somebody wants to get involved with your organization, can they?
Without a doubt, Doug. I mean, it's amazing how even going into year two, there in Pittsburgh, because again, it tied in so beautifully with the show. We had the great Al Oliver as our featured speaker because the timing was perfect. Al was able to join our group, go to see the show Friday night. And yes, I mean, it's not necessarily like we're literally promoting it, so to speak, because it's an exclusive group. But I will tell you this, Doug, you are definitely a member as of today.
You've just made not only my day, but much more than that. I think you understand that. Danny Torres, who is not only one of the founding members of the Society of Clemente Enthusiasts, but has written for many outlets that we talked about. It's so great to have you here on Sports Jam. Thanks, sir, for coming on the show.
Thank you, Doug. And I will say, if I could leave it on this note, one of the pieces that I wrote that is very dear to me, very, very dear to me, and I'm sure down the line there'll be a book even on, not necessarily Roberto, but just those that I've interviewed in my 12 years. I had the opportunity in 2010. I was asked by the Baseball Hall of Fame, my dear friend there, Craig Muter, who asked me to do a piece, and I thought it was rather interesting, Clemente Beyond Nicaragua. So where is it that I could say in interviewing those that knew Roberto, but not necessarily those that were former Pirates, those who were intimate like Luis, although Luis is in the story. But then I wanted that at a different angle. I said, let me interview the Pirate trainer, Tony Bartiromo. Let me look to interview those that met Roberto as teenagers. And there were three that I came up with. Another dear friend of mine who is very close to the family, Carol Bass, that lives in Virginia. A professor at Boston College. And Luis, who actually did meet Roberto for the first time as a young man. So I said, let me take it from the perspective of those that had the opportunity to know Roberto literally almost as close to the age of my daughters. And like I said, having the opportunity to talk to someone like Carol Bass, who has a very, very interesting story. And you look at it that she's still very close to the family, but she met Roberto in 1966, the year that I was born. Basically, if I may just very quickly, just happened to go to a ball game in Philadelphia and wanting to get Roberto's autograph. And after Roberto signed it, she says in her, at that time, basic Spanish, gracias, Roberto Clemente. And he immediately just started, he felt so comfortable and started to talk to her in Spanish. And she had to slow him up. And it's just a rather interesting story. From that moment, imagine that, Doug, she became a lifelong friend to where she actually was going to visit along with her family New Year's Eve in Puerto Rico when that tragedy occurred. So, you know, that piece for the Baseball Hall of Fame in 2010 means a lot to me. And I will definitely send you a signed copy of that magazine.
Wonderful having you on the show, Danny. And from his home in Arlington, Texas, Luis Mayoral, what an honor it's been to have you here on Sports Jam to talk about your great friend.
The honor has been mine, Doug. In my mind, I see Roberto through a corridor of time, and I know that he stands up to time spiritually with proper defiance and classic dignity. I wrote that many years ago.
Gentlemen, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Sports Jam with Doug Doyle is a WBGO News production. I appreciate you listening to the entire podcast of this show. You can join us next Wednesday night at 7:30 for another edition of the nationally recognized Sports Jam. Until then, I'll see you at the games.